So John told me that I had 12 minutes, so take a little bit longer. But when John contacted me, what came to my mind wasn't necessarily a figure, but it was an equation. And it's one that's had an influence on my career and actually a lot of the science that's been done over the past few decades. And it all relates to nitrogen N15 research. And just a little bit of history there, the isotope N15 was determined in, discovered in 1930. Within 10 years, the practical means of producing enriched N15 was available, which made it then possible to do experiments with. And another decade later, the first isotope ratio mass spectrometer, which allowed very accurate and precise measurement of N15, came about. And it was shortly after this that it was applied in agronomic or soils research. So in 43, the first application of N15 was measuring plant uptake of a fertilizer source. And within the next decade, a number of microbial processes were measured using N15, mineralization, immobilization, denitrification, nitrogen fixation, most of the major nitrogen cycling processes. Okay, so that's a little bit in terms of background. These are the seminal papers. Kirkham and Bartholomew published papers in the Soil Science Society of America Proceedings in 54 and 55, and it's the 1954 paper I'll be talking about in specific. Vic Bartholomew was a soil microbiologist interested in nitrogen cycling. Don Kirkham was a soil physicist. And I assume how this collaboration came about is that Bartholomew was interested in the turnover of nitrogen in soils, and in order to get at turnover, you needed to be able to, in a sense, model it. And Don Kirkham, being a physicist, had the math skills to actually integrate the equations and come up with the solution. And, in the upper left-hand corner, in font too small to see, are the actual equations. Okay. So these are the annual citations for this 1954 article. In the first 30 years, it was never cited for more than 2 times in a year. So clearly this was a failed paper. I'm not sure exactly how Kirkham and Bartholomew ever got tenure, but nevertheless they did. In the subsequent 30 years, it's been cited 410 times, and at least through September of this year, it's been cited over 500 times, and if you look at those papers, collectively they've been cited more than 20,000 times. So this certainly has had an impact on the field. And I think there are a couple of contributing causes to this. In 1982, Janssen and Pearson published a review article in one of the society monographs, Nitrogen Agricultural Soils, fantastic book if you want to go back and read the 1982 version. And it cited this paper, and their paper was on mineralization immobilization. And I think that kind of stimulated thinking. And shortly thereafter, a continuous flow IRMS was developed and commercialized, which made the analysis of N15 much more accessible and much less expensive. So I think these are kind of the contributing factors that led to this. So why was this equation important? Okay, and it all has to do with measuring the gross rates of a process. And so that's what I illustrate here, organic nitrogen being converted to ammonium. Ammonium can be immobilized back into organic nitrogen. And in both instances, the net rate of these processes is 1. But as you can see, in one case, you have gross rates that are 10 times higher than another. So clearly, although you might have the same net rate, you have different things going on in systems where that nitrogen is turning over at faster or slower rates. So to get to the equations, since we're dealing with production and consumption, you have 2 unknowns, so you're going to need 2 equations to solve that. And so basically it's a mass balance on the total nitrogen, that's the X in these equations, and then a mass balance on the N15, which is the Y. Or you can represent that N15 as an atom fraction or an atom percent. Okay. Now, many variations of this equation have come about since the initial publication by Kirkham and Bartholomew, and it's been further developed into much more complex, multi-component, many more process types of models. Okay. But if you take a look at this just as an example, so if we take the ammonium pool and we put some N15, in my example I've labeled it at half N15, we wait a period of time and we measure it, the N15 has disappeared because it's been consumed with a consumptive process. In the particular example I'm giving, the total amount of nitrogen in this pool has stayed the same, 10 units. So there's no change in size. But as a result of the N15 changing, you have this exponential decline, which, again, if you go through the math, as Kirkham and Bartholomew did, gives you the equation that's represented down below. Now, that equation in the middle, the df2dt, that's the slope of this line in the lower figure. You can see that's proportional to the production rate. So the faster that ammonium is being produced, the steeper the decline. It's also proportional to the difference in the atom fraction of the nitrogen coming in and the atom fraction of that pool. So the farther apart they are, the faster it goes. And it's inversely proportional to the size of the pool. So if you have a big pool, it takes a long time to dilute it out. So those are all sorts of concepts which are fairly intuitive. Okay. Now, Kirkham and Bartholomew extended this further to the case where mineralization and immobilization, or production and consumption, were not equal, and those are the equations which are highlighted here. Okay. So why did this matter? Well, in the 60s and 70s, the IBP days, scientists went around the world measuring pool sizes of almost everything. How much carbon was in the tree, how much carbon was in the soil. And they also measured pool sizes of inorganic nitrogen, such as ammonium and nitrate. Okay. And for example, these data come from a study by Davidson et al., published in the early 90s. Cited Kirk and Bartholomew. This paper itself has been cited over more than 400 times. And they found that in an old growth forest, these pool sizes of plant available nitrogen are much lower than in a young forest, leading to the idea that nitrogen is cycled much more conservatively, is much less available in these very mature forests compared to a newer forest. Okay. About 10 years later, in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of effort put in measuring net rates of nitrogen. I associate this with a lot of the watershed studies by Peter Vitusik and others, which were scattered all around the U.S. And here they measured the net production of ammonia, net mineralization, or net nitrification. And you see a somewhat similar pattern to the pool sizes, that these net rates were higher in the young forest, suggesting that nitrogen is cycling more actively there, lower in the old growth forest. In fact, nitrification rates were basically zero, no nitrate production. What Eric Davidson and others found is that if they measured the gross rate, that pattern no longer holds. In fact, if you look at net mineralization, nitrogen is cycling three times faster in that old growth forest. And if you look at nitrification, it isn't that there's no nitrification in that old growth forest. It's just that as fast as it's being produced, it's being consumed. So looking at gross rates tells you something different about how nitrogen is cycled in an ecosystem compared to pool sizes or net rates. Okay. So a question is, what's driving these gross rates? And so that's something that Steve Hart took a look at, and his paper, which cited Kirk and Bartholomew, has been cited more than 600 times. And he did a long-term incubation of a forest soils, and this was an old-growth forest soil, not the same soil that Davidson used, but a similar one. And periodically, he put N15 in, and he did this what we often call pool dilution measurement. And in the case of gross nitrification, there's some variability through time, but the numbers tend to be pretty low. But in the case of gross nitrogen mineralization, we have very high rates initially, and they decline exponentially to quite low rates much later in the incubation. And he found this to be very tightly correlated with measurements of respiration at those times when he did the incubation. So in other words, it seems that carbon, the energy for most of the organisms in soil, is really driving this nitrogen turnover. And once you run out of carbon, you don't turn over the nitrogen as quickly. And based on this, you can also calculate turnover times of pools. And one of the really fascinating or interesting pieces of information that came from the Davidson paper and also this one is when you look at those inorganic pools, their turnover rates often end up being a day or less. And so that inorganic nitrogen is spinning around quite quickly. Okay. You look at turnover of the microbial biomass or the nitrogen in that microbial biomass, and during this long-term incubation, initially that was also quite rapid. By the end, the microbial biomass is turning over on about a yearly basis. So those are just some of the insights which we gained as a result of this equation that was developed, 65 years or so ago now. So to summarize, because of Kirkham and Bartholomew, we got significant insights into the nitrogen cycle that we didn't know before. And it's inspired a number of additional applications. As I mentioned, more sophisticated models, Bruno Marie and Christoph Mueller are two common examples. But it's also led to people applying N15 in some additional ways, looking at N15 imaging at the microscale. This is nanosims types of work, which you could potentially couple with these equations and get at nitrogen cycling at very small scales. Or stable isotope probing, where you could potentially use this information to look at the turnover of nitrogen by different organisms and how fast each of those organisms is turning over nitrogen. Another point, which I think I made already, is that not all science is accurately evaluated by a two-year impact factor, so I think that's worth keeping in mind. And it just takes time sometimes for the ideas to, or for technology to catch up with the ideas. Thank you very much.